New York City is quietly amassing a growing database of DNA samples for use in criminal investigations with little oversight or regulation. The explosive growth is ringing alarm bells for civil liberties groups and defense attorneys. WNYC's Robert Lewis has the story, co-reported with The Trace, a nonprofit newsroom focused on guns in America.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
Pleasure to meet you.
This is the modest two-story home where Terrell Gills lives with his mother in Binghamton.
I'm betting it's pretty nice to be back here.
Oh, it's great. Can you take off your shoes, you mind?
Absolutely.
It was early morning when the NYPD came to arrest him here in 2015 for an armed robbery at a Dunkin' Donuts in Jamaica, Queens.
It would just happen so fast because they just came and woke me up.
In surveillance video, the robber appears to have an earring in his right ear. Gills has an earring in his left. The robber holds the knife in his left hand. Gills is right-handed. The robber looks to be stocky and 6 feet tall. Gills wishes he was 6 feet tall. He's 5'6 and 120 pounds. And police had already arrested another guy, 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, for two other robberies that fit the same pattern. But there was one crucial piece of evidence that led police to arrest Gills for the third robbery.
My lawyer, Miss Martinez, you know, she came and represented me, and I'm like, okay, but I had nothing to do with it. And she said that it was something with DNA.
DNA. It's that gee whiz science that allowed the NYPD to scrape skin cells off the touchscreen at the Dunkin' Donuts and run the genetic profile through a state database looking for a match. And they got one. Turns out Gills used to visit that Dunkin' Donuts with his six-year-old daughter, where he'd get the usual, a chocolate frosted, no sprinkles, and she'd eat a glazed. His DNA was on file because of a prior drug conviction.
I was just thinking, like, how I just ended up in this place because I didn't do a thing.
He couldn't make bail and spent 18 months on Rikers Island. The jury acquitted him in February over its lunch break.
My life is just stopped right now. It's like you don't have life when you're in jail. Your life is gone. You lost everything.
DNA is helping solve countless cases, bringing justice to victims nationwide. But the Gills case shows how easily science can lead police astray, an issue that becomes more critical as more and more genetic profiles wind up on government computers. At the current rate, there will be 1 million DNA profiles sitting in a New York database in the next 5 years.
The fact is, negligence and even fraud can and do happen every day at every stage of the collection and analysis of forensic DNA.
Robert Perry is the New York Civil Liberty Union's legislative director.
Samples are mislabeled, samples are cross-contaminated, samples are misinterpreted and even misrepresented in courtrooms.
The NYCLU is among the groups that have campaigned against the growth of law enforcement DNA databases, with little success. The state database was created by state law and was originally limited to murderers and sex offenders. But it has expanded five times since 1996, and now includes anyone convicted of a crime, misdemeanor or felony. It has almost 700,000 profiles. New York City's DNA database is smaller, with about 65,000 profiles, but there's no law regulating what local law enforcement can keep. DNA from witnesses, victims, random passersby, all up for grabs. The NYCLU's Robert Perry again.
We simply don't have sufficient oversight and investigation of what's being done at the local level regarding the collection and use of forensic DNA samples. That's something that is really incumbent upon lawmakers to take up.
The city added about 3,000 new profiles a year to the local database up until 2014. The rates nearly tripled since then. Deputy Chief Emmanuel Katranakis is commanding officer of the NYPD's Forensic Investigations Division. He says they make thousands of DNA matches a year to help solve crimes.
We're very keen on making certain that we're always respecting the constitutional rights of New Yorkers. That's paramount.
But what does that mean?
Who is in there? It's anyone whose DNA was compelled in a court case.
That's Ann Givens, our partner at The Trace.
It would be more appropriate if the medical examiner spoke.
The ME's office runs the tests and maintains the database, and they referred us back to the NYPD. You can find a vivid example of how aggressive the department has become about collecting DNA in the files of Rebecca Kavanaugh, a legal aid attorney in Brooklyn.
It was just so egregious that it just was beyond the pale.
Cops held her client in a cell at the 75th Precinct for 13 hours in a weapons possession case until he agreed to give a DNA sample. Kavanaugh flipped through the hearing transcript.
And then the court says, that's the whole problem, the whole issue, which your witness didn't address. The issue is the coerciveness in the precinct of holding the defendant hostage to giving
the judge
DNA
threw out the evidence. Another example can be found in the files of the Karina Vetrano case. She's the jogger who was murdered in Howard Beach, Queens last year. Police recovered DNA from under her fingernails and on her cell phone and neck. They ran the samples through the database but got no matches. Over the next few months, they collected and tested DNA from more than 150 people, according to court records in the case. Police haven't said how they identified the group. In some instances, cops collected discarded items like a cigarette butt and sent them to the crime lab. Some gave a swab voluntarily, and it seems to have worked. They finally got a match, and a suspect is in custody. But all those other people, who apparently had nothing to do with the murder, most of their DNA was flagged as, quote, suitable for entry into the city's database. Barry Scheck served on the state's Commission on Forensic Science, which regulates public DNA labs statewide. Even he doesn't know whose DNA is on file in New York City.
As a commissioner, I ask this ad nauseum for, you know, close to two decades. You're telling me, well, we don't put a rape victim's DNA profile in there. And I say, great, you shouldn't. But where's that written down? Where's your set of rules and regulations? And I personally never saw them.
Scheck is co-founder of the Innocence Project, which has used DNA to help exonerate wrongfully convicted people. So he's a fan of DNA, but he says there are limits.
If you wanted to solve every case, you would take DNA from every person at birth, right? I think most people in the United States would be very worried about trusting the government to have their DNA.
Some defense attorneys have gotten protective orders to keep clients' DNA out of the database. Others are filing motions to make sure their client's DNA is removed from the database if the charges are dropped or if they're found not guilty. Aaron Murphy is a professor at the NYU Law School and author of Inside the Cell, The Dark Side of Forensic DNA. She says part of the concern is where the science is headed in the next few decades, particularly as cops turn to giant computers to predict who might commit crimes.
We are letting the government acquire huge amounts, millions of peoples of genetic information that will serve them in generations going forward without a whole lot of restrictions on what can or cannot be done with that information.
The medical examiner's office says it has, quote, stringent rules governing use of the local database, but it refused to provide them. Robert Lewis, WNYC News.